Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's get right back into it on a Wednesday. 2 hours down, 2 hours to go. Almost a Thursday, then the Friday, and then Friday will fly by. This might be one of the fastest Fridays of the year. I know the year just started. But again, biggest game of your life on Sunday, baby. 5:30, Chiefs, Bills, Allen, Mahomes, McDermott, Reed, Kelce, Jones and company going to try and get to their third consecutive Super Bowl.
I feel like Sunday's going to go slow, though.
You think so?
Yeah.
I mean, that first game's at what, 2:30?
Two, I think.
Two.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Once that game goes, then they'll just start cutting away at everybody warming up at Arrowhead and talking about the game that is what it is.
Plenty of ways to pass the time on Sunday, like Chiefs extended pregame with Drew and I from 11 to 2. Straight into the game, straight into Chiefs real pregame with Mitch Holtis and those guys. So, yeah. Lots to do on Sunday.
Dane and Mitch, Dan, all those guys.
Yep.
Speaking of slow and time-consuming, this game is 100%. I believe this. This game is going to be the time of possession game. The Chiefs are number one in the NFL when it comes to time of possession at home. Maybe not number one, but they are one of the top five teams in the league in time of possession when playing at home. They average the ball 31 minutes per game at home. Buffalo at home as well, top five team. They average as well 31 minutes of time of possession during a game. On the road, Buffalo is 2 minutes lesser of having time of possession. So again, on the road, Buffalo has the ball two more fewer minutes than they have it at home. Mm-hmm. Chiefs advantage there. They're playing at home. I'm not funny when I say this. And I know I say a lot of dumb stuff. I said it yesterday on our Instagram page, it's a fan 96.5. Whoever wins this coin toss, I truly believe will win the game because you dictate the second half. And I'm telling you, the Chiefs are plus 2 minutes and some change at home. Buffalo, like we just had mentioned, is minus 2 minutes in time of possession as they are at home versus on the road. You can already see this sort of game coming. It's going to be a 2 minute drive to win the game. That will be the result. I know there's the cliche of whoever has the ball last is going to win. I'm not going to do that easy. Who's ever got the ball with at least 2 minutes and some change left is going to win the game because both quarterbacks know. Josh Allen has been burned too many times in the past to be like, I don't care how long we have the ball, we're not giving it back to Patrick Mahomes. Mahomes now knows that Josh Allen has learned from his mistakes and he knows how to run the clock out. We remember that game against the Chargers. They had the ball for like 4 minutes and 25 seconds.
And the game against Tampa Bay where they took it in overtime and just ran it down and didn't give it back to them.
So, again, you can see this coming. Will it be the same result we've seen in the past, where it's another Mahomes slow burn to the Buffalo fan base and that Buffalo roster? He did it again. He can't keep getting away with it. Some people call them the thieves of joy. Or is this the Allen time? History would tell you the Chiefs will be the one that has the ball with the game on the line with 2 minutes and some change left going in to cash in on a three-peat. the 13-second game. They had the ball last in that in the fourth quarter, mm-hmm. got the ball first in overtime, the end result. Buffalo missed the field goal last year. Mahomes got the ball back with a minute 43 second, went down the field, Butker, field goal, game over. And then you go back to the old AFC championship game. Mahomes has always gotten the ball back last, and he's either drove down and got a touchdown, or he's drove down and got a field goal, and it's been a minute 43, it's been 13 seconds, it's been a minute and 19 seconds, but Mahomes gets the ball under 2 minutes where they have the advantage at home in the time of possession game. This game will favor the Chiefs, and the history will tell you that this game will favor the Chiefs because they seem to always get the ball last when they play Buffalo. Three games, three results, all three under 2 minutes. Mahomes has the ball in his hand. The Chiefs win.
I think it's going to come down to something simple, and I'm not trying to be flippant about this. Whoever has the most points with all zeros on the clock is going to win this thing. And I say it like that because if there's still 1 second left on the clock, either one of these quarterbacks has an opportunity to do something special. And that's why I think it is important to run out the clock if you do have the ball late in the game. And that's maybe where the Chiefs are able to kind of take control of the quote unquote time of possession in this one. Cause I think it's, I do think it's going to be more of a shootout than we're expected in this one. I think you kind of go into the game with a game plan, but if Josh Allen starts lighting it up a little bit, well, Patrick Mahomes is going to want to answer Josh Allen, right? Mm-hmm. And if Patrick Mahomes starts lighting it up, well, you know the competitive nature of Josh Allen is going to be, all right, you just went down the field in two plays and scored. I want to go down the field in two plays and score. And so I think we might see a lot of that at the beginning where it is just back and forth, back and forth, back mm-hmm. and forth. And then you get late in the game and you have an opportunity to ice it. And whoever takes over the ball with about 4 minutes to go in this game is probably going to be the one that ends up winning that football game because they're going to be able to bleed that clock out, right? And I think both quarterbacks are capable of doing that. Both head coaches are capable of doing that. Both offenses are capable of doing that. So if you get the ball with like 4 minutes to go in this one, the odds are pretty good that you're going to win this game. The odds are pretty good you're going to bleed that clock out because I don't think either side wants to leave any time on the clock for either one of these quarterbacks.
Yeah, and I mean, I think the other conversation you could have with the time of possession thing is that Mahomes, we know because of the pass and the proof that when the clock slows down, he gets a little bit more calm and it doesn't really seem to be going that fast. And he's kind of methodical in the way that he can move no matter what. We've seen it with 13 seconds, a minute, whatever you want to call it. My question is if there is an advantage that you want to pick apart with both these quarterbacks outside of one guy's done it, one guy hasn't, is still kind of in that cul-de-sac of a narrative, which is Josh Allen has to beat Mahomes. Like, I don't know how I can mm-hmm. emphasize it. He has to beat Patrick Mahomes.
Right.
And when that clock starts to dwindle down, like the first half, it's, you know, we're good. We got another half to fall back on. We can adjust to halftime no matter what we do or how successful or how unsuccessful we are. But when all of a sudden that fourth quarter starts and that crowd gets a little bit louder and that clock starts to dwindle away and dwindle away and you're looking across the sideline and Mahomes has his little cutout turtleneck on and he's relaxed on the bench and that head racing is going on in Josh Allen's head going, all right, how can we do this? How can we kind of make sure that we're going to be okay? Because I don't want to leave him any time. You get outside of the game plan. You get outside of your mental thought and you start thinking about things that you cannot control, which is giving Patrick Mahomes the ball and what he will do with it. We have an idea what he will do with it if he has the ball with less than 2 minutes to go and he's got to go down there and either tie it or win it. He'll end up, most likely than not, winning the game. But Josh Allen, this is that situation where every single layer of this game gets heavier and heavier and heavier for 17 of Buffalo because of the fact he's not done it. This is what matters. This has been his season. And again, he goes in there as now as only a 1.5-point underdog, over under 47.5. You kind of are leaning towards a shootout.
Yeah,
I wouldn't mind seeing that. We've seen it multiple times before. It's entertaining
as
hell.
Fun.
But again, you have to think about this when you start taking away these quarterbacks and trying to compare them where they're so evenly comparable. When that clock gets less and less on the board, Josh Allen is going to become that duck on the pond, I believe, where it might look calm, but underneath those feet are twirling a mile a minute, you know, every single time he's on the field.
Because he knows what's at stake, too. How are you guys going to be feeling with 3:30 left in the game? The Chiefs just had a punt because they just did a three and out, and Buffalo has the ball at their own 20-yard line. What's going to be your emotions at that point in time?
Standing, beer in my hand, pacing back and forth.
Because I'll probably be puking at that point in time because you got Josh Allen going 80 yards, 3 minutes and 30 seconds with the Chiefs. The Chiefs are up four in that instance, by the way. Chiefs are up four, 3:30 to go. Mm-hmm. Josh Allen has the ball at his own 20-yard line. How are you going to be feeling? Now, take that feeling that we're going to be having with a lead, multiply it by about a billion, and that's how Josh Allen's going to be feeling, because he's looking at that situation and going, this is everything right here. I have an opportunity now to finally do this. Not only just beat Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs, but lead my team back with a deficit in Arrowhead with all of these fans screaming and yelling against a Spags defense. Like, it may get so turned up for Josh Allen that he doesn't know what to do in that type of situation, because he knows how much pressure's on him. And much like Patrick Mahomes not being back in this three-peat type of situation, Josh Allen may never be in this spot again where he's going to go out there and dominate the AFC East and automatically get into the AFC championship game, because the Patriots are going to be better next year. There's going to be other teams that are going to show up that we're not thinking about right now. It's a big moment for Josh Allen. Can he handle those final 3 minutes and 30 seconds and do what's necessary to get the job done? Going to be a nerve-wracking final couple of minutes of that game.
And again, Mahomes got the ball back for a field goal, and then OT threw it to Travis Kelce, had the ball last. Before that, in 2021, or before that, they had the field goal last year that they missed. Mahomes got the ball, ran out the clock. Minute 43 left in that game. Then there's the 13-second game. So again, like, it's always been Mahomes with the ball last, and it's always been the Chiefs that win. So that coin toss, man, at the beginning of the game is impactful more than you would have ever thought. Whoever gets that ball in the second half, major advantage. I know that's an obvious stat, but again, 2-for-1. Every single game. If they could win that coin toss, my temper and my anxiety will go down a little bit, because I'll just know, no matter what that first half is, this team's getting the ball in the second half, and hopefully that team is your Kansas City Chiefs. Yep.
Go out there, score early, score often, and don't give Buffalo the opportunity to be in the situation to come back.
Who goes for it more often on fourth down in this
Buffalo.
Game? Buffalo.
No question.
Buffalo has...
Because what do you say? You can't kick field goals and beat Patrick Mahomes?
Yeah. Buffalo has so much to gain in this game. Like, I wouldn't expect Buffalo to punt. I mean, unless they're on the negative side of the 50-yard line in their own territory. But I think once you get on the other side of the 50, if you're Buffalo, it's four-down territory the entire time. What are you holding back for?
Right.
Next week?
I mean, 1-6, I think you're missing it. Josh Allen has never been the one who chokes. It's the people around him that choke. It's not him. It's the team and the coach. I'm not saying that he's choking. I'm just saying it always seems to be Mahomes that gets the ball last, which is out of his control.
But I think the 8-1-6 points in Bob's scenario, to 8-1-6 point, that would finally be the case
that
for
would
Josh
be the case
Allen.
Right there. Show
Josh
how
Allen,
big
now
a boy
it's me.
Are you?
Now it's me. It's not McDermott going to be, you know, kicking it out of the end zone and doing prevent defense with 13 seconds left.
Right.
It's not going to be Tyler Rasmussen in a kick. It's not going to be Stephon Diggs dropping a dime on the sideline. It's going to be me. So I think that's 8-1-6 points. I respect that text.
Yeah. No, I don't think it's ever been. I know that's what I'm saying. I'm not missing the fact that it's been.
No, for sure.
I never said he choked.
No, for sure.
It's always Mahomes gets the ball back in the previous three meetings.
Yeah.
Coming up on the other side, Sal Capaccio, WGR Buffalo, and Bill's sideline reporter will join us here on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan, your home, Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for Kansas City sports, 96.5 The Fan.
Diving right back into it, you can go to our poll question today. Is Josh Allen the one opposing quarterback that gives you doubt, Kansas City fans? Yes or no? 63.8% leaning towards yes as the one quarterback that does give you doubt.
It ain't Andy Dalton in Cincinnati, I'll tell you that.
Come on, come on. He missed some time. We're now joined by Sal Capaccio of WGR Buffalo and the Bills sideline reporter. Sal, how you doing, my man?
I'm pretty good today. It's very cold here in Buffalo this week. It's getting a little warmer. It's going to be warmer in Kansas City, I think, this weekend than we had here for Sunday's game, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's 50 degrees warmer today in Kansas City than it was yesterday, because yesterday was negative 11. Today it is 9. So we got a heat front coming on.
Yeah, it's getting a little warmer. By the time you're standing on those sidelines, it's going to be pushing about 40 degrees on Sunday afternoon. So, Sal, what's the feeling, man? What's the conversation like in Buffalo right now?
I think the conversation is, you know, simply one of you got to finally do this, right? I mean, you have a chance to go to Arrowhead and, you know, slay the dragon. And we've been here before, whether it's in Buffalo or in Kansas City. We know how the seasons have ended. I think there's a lot of, you know, there's confidence that the Bills can beat the Chiefs because they have beaten the Chiefs. But there's also a lot of nervousness because we know how things have turned out in the past in these types of situations. I think there's also the element of, hey, do it for America, as you guys know, right? I mean,
right.
That's what that people just don't want to see the Chiefs there again. And, you know, I just think there's so much that goes on in this matchup, in this game, and all the different storylines with it. But that's really what it comes down to, guys, is, hey, you know you can beat this team, but you haven't done it in this situation, and now it's time.
Yeah, it's funny because earlier in the show I said that, you know, Patrick Mahomes is playing with the weight of a three-peat on his shoulders. Josh Allen is playing with the weight of America on his shoulders. I mean, seriously, though, how are they handling that, knowing the whole country other than here is rooting for Buffalo in this one?
Yeah, I don't think that matters inside the building of One Bills Drive. I think what I've really loved about, really all through Sean McDermott's tenure, since he's been here for 8 years, I've always felt that Sean is very much like Andy Reid, just a consistent approach, right? They have this, and he's learned a lot from Andy, of course, in coaching with him. And you just take it 1 week at a time, one game at a time. And I know that's a cliche, I get it. But I really think this team has done a really good job of that this year. And pretty much for the most part of McDermott's tenure. So I don't think they let that kind of creep in. It's really about them and what their goals are, what they're trying to accomplish. And going there. But certainly it's, you know, people will be down there today and practice. And I don't know if something like that will come up, but if it does, I'm sure they'll say, look, they're just trying to go 1-0 this week. That's what Josh Allen's mantra is every week.
Both these rosters will look different than the last time they played in week 11. Obviously that is a underlining story in this, outside of Allen and Mahomes going head to head is the game of the year. But look, Milano's going to be there. He'll get to go up against Travis Kelce. You also have to deal with Charles Omenihue on the Chiefs side, who's been a valuable piece of this defensive line since he's been here. George Karlaftis, 7 sacks, obviously 3 of those last week. What's the biggest difference when you add these guys to these rosters for each team?
Yeah, it's really interesting. I'll credit Thad Brown, who covers the team from Rochester here in Buffalo. He tweeted yesterday, here's who the players for the Bills missed and the Kansas City Chiefs missed in the last game. There's 5 really notable players for each team. For the Bills, Matt Milano, Spencer Brown, Dalton Kincaid, Keon Coleman, and Juwan Smoot. None of them played. For the Chiefs, Isaiah Pacheco, Marquise Brown, Jalen Watson, Charles Omenihue, Harrison Butker. I mean, really, like that's a totally different, you know, it's you know, basically 5 out of 11 guys if you want to go one side of the ball there. Either way, for the Bills, I think Spencer Brown being out that game was big. Now, listen, Ryan Vandermark did a really nice job. But Spencer Brown is a really good right tackle, guys, and he helps their running game a ton. And one of the biggest differences was the Bills could not run the ball against the Chiefs that game. And, you know, outside of Josh Allen, I think they had less than 3 yards of carry. But the Bills have been very good running the ball most of the year. They've been very good against the 2 best rush defenses in the NFL the last 2 playoff games. They did a really good job against the Broncos and the Ravens. That's been a major, you know, difference. And, of course, having Keon Coleman available, and then, of course, Matt Milano, right? We know that Matt is a really fantastic linebacker. He's used as a spy a lot. They've spied Patrick Mahomes a lot in the past with Dorian Williams or Matt Milano. On the other side, you know, defending Marquise Brown and his speed and defending Isaiah Pacheco and the way he runs, you know, obviously those are going to be, you know, and Jalen Watson. We all know these are really good players for both these sides. I do wonder, I'll ask you guys, we're trying to, because I think that, you know, Spencer Brown in the run game helping out, have the Chiefs been leaky lately on defense and the run game? Because the numbers suggest that, but I'm not sure if that's the case. I go back to the Cleveland game and I see how their yards per carry has really shot up against them, and I don't know what to make of that.
I think what you're looking at is a team that doesn't care what they give up as long as you don't get into the end zone, and then you get inside that 20-yard line, then they batten down the hatches, and so they, like, it really is, like, I've told people for the last couple of years, they don't care about the regular season either, so whatever happens, happens. They're just focusing on getting in, you know, to the postseason, but defensively for this team, it really is, I mean, it's a tease for a lot of people, because it feels like you're moving the ball down the field, and then all of a sudden you get inside that red zone and they go, all right, not today, you know, sorry, go back the other direction or settle for a field goal at this point in time. So that's what I think it is. I think it also has to do with, you know, boredom towards the end of the season. They're ready for the playoffs, you know?
Yeah, that makes sense. I will say this, the Bills are very similar on defense, but the difference isn't necessarily the red zone. They've been good there. It's turnovers. I mean, the Bills have just they've just turned teams over all year, and they do not give you the ball. That's been the biggest difference with this Bills team, I think, than in years past, especially with Josh Allen and some of the turnovers he's had, you know, early on. And he's been really great in the playoffs throughout his career, not turning the ball over. But if you look at the turnover differential, and again, last week, look what happened. The Ravens turned the ball over 3 times. You see the punch out from Terrell Bernard. I mean, these are things the Bills, you know, you don't rely on turnovers, but they are coached and they are aggressive and they are try to force you. And that's what the Bills' philosophy has been this year. We're going to give you some yards. You're going to run on us, but guess what? We're going to make a critical play and take the ball away when we need to.
Well, the Chiefs haven't turned it over, Sal Capaccio, since we were up in Buffalo. I mean, that's wild.
Yeah, you have two, you know, here's what's amazing. These 2 great quarterbacks, right, Josh Allen, and I'll even throw Lamar in the mix until last week. We know Lamar turned the ball over a couple times last week. But you think how great Josh is, Lamar is, and Patrick are. And yet we're still getting all these wild plays, and these guys aren't turning the ball over. It's amazing, right? They really all morphed into these guys who just say, and I know Patrick hasn't a lot in his career as much as Josh maybe, but even Lamar, like, he really hasn't given the ball away. And it's amazing watching these guys do what they do and still be such great, you know, protectors of the ball.
I don't think there's the two best quarterbacks, I think, in the NFL. I feel like I know that. The Chiefs, number one scoring defense. They're first, only allowing 14 points per game. Buffalo, number two, allowing 16 points per game. Is this one of those games we just throw those stats out the window and we're geared up for a 34-31 wild finish that comes down to a field goal between either, you know, Bass or it's Butker?
I'd be a bit surprised if it was that high scoring in this one. I just think both teams want to run the ball and control the line of scrimmage, especially we've seen the Chiefs kind of play like that all year. They've played close games. You know, have their record in one score games. We know that. Now, the Bills have scored a lot of points this year. I know that as well. But I just think in this game, it's going to be about, hey, protect the football. Yeah, Andy Reid coach teams have been, to me, you know, watching football for many years, one of the best teams I've ever seen at just capitalizing on your mistakes, right? Don't make a mistake because they're going to capitalize. Well, the Bills have been that team this year. You know, they're going to make you, we're going to wait for you to make a mistake and we're going to capitalize. And I think it's kind of like that Spider-Man meme this week, right, guys, where we're going to point at you and say, yeah, you make a mistake. No, you make a mistake. No, you make a mistake. And whichever one makes a mistake, you know, the other team capitalizes. But I do think, yes, the kicking game could be big here. Butker did not play the last time these two teams played, but, you know, the Chiefs did a nice job of filling in what they had to do at kicking there. Tyler Bass had struggled this year, but he's been very good over the last month. He made a real big 51-yard kick this past week, but we also know the Chiefs special teams have been terrific over the last several years. I know that analytically they're not as, you know, great numbers-wise, but the Bills have struggled in some special teams areas this year. They've been had on a couple of fake punts. They give up a couple of long kickoff returns. So I wouldn't be surprised if a special teams play or two makes a difference here.
Talk with Sal Capaccio of WGR, the Bills sideline reporter as well. And I hate to bring it up, but it is the only topic people seemingly in the national networks talk about are the referees and the penalties and all of that. And, you know, Houston obviously last week talked about it inside their locker room and were focused on the referees being an impact in this game, a big reason why they lost. I know you guys have to ask the questions, obviously, but do you think the referees are even a topic inside that Buffalo facility?
So I think they're a topic every week in every facility, only in so much as who's refereeing, what do they call penalties on, what do they let go, right? You guys know what I mean, right? You look at the officials and say, this crew calls more DPI, this crew calls more holding, this crew calls less of this. I think that is the case. I can't imagine the Bills are going to let that seep in as far as, you know, oh my God, the referees, they're going to take this game from us. Because if you do, as you said, you're kind of already defeated. You can't do that. I think the messaging this week is going to be, and we'll talk to the players, I'm sure people will ask about it, the messaging is going to be, look, we're going to control what we can control, and we can't let them be a part of the game. Like, we can't let them impact it. I agree with you that, you know, people are talking about, of course, there's all these stats that go out there, and, you know, games are fixed. I don't believe any of that, right? I mean, I always say, and our morning show host, Jeremy White here, just said this morning, I agree 100%. If you think games are rigged, why do you watch, right? I mean, this isn't, We know it's not WWE and it's scripted and people watch that for the entertainment. I do think, though, there's a natural inherent bias sometimes. For all great players to get calls to go their way. Sometimes for home teams to get calls to go their way. I mean, I compare it to Michael Jordan. I'm a Yankee fan. Derek Jeter, I think, got the benefit of the doubt on balls and strikes sometimes, right? You see those things happen. There's no doubt. But you can't let that creep into your consciousness and how you play the game. I can't imagine the Bills will do that this week.
Last one here. We'll end up on a good note for you, Sal. Shout out to your fans, man. Mark Andrews getting death threats for the drops from Baltimore. Bills fans donate $45,000 to a Mark Andrews-backed charity after a divisional drop. I mean, that's a good look, man. I like to bring up the good in the world as well.
Yeah, listen, 2020, Lamar Jackson suffered a concussion at the end of the playoff game here, and his charity, and I think there's just some backpacks involved with this charity, like with their flooded with donations. You guys know what Bills Mafia is about here, and how that all works, and people donating to great causes. I will tell you, though, from my perspective, you know, I was at both the 92 and 94, well, I should say 91 and 93, you know, playoff games in Buffalo, and Joe Montana, Steve DeBerg. I go back a long way with that, and I would say that even since I was a kid going to games, I've always said that, you know, Chiefs fans have always been the best fans to interact with. Like, they're the most respectful. I've been around all these. I've been to these stadiums. I've been to these games at home with the fans that come in from out of town. And last week, guys, here with Ravens fans and Bills fans was so toxic. It was just unbearable on social media. It really was. And for that to happen after that toxicity that was happening between the two fan bases, and for Bills Mafia to donate to Mark Andrews, and I've heard Mark Andrews, his own fan base isn't treating him well after you know what happened. It speaks volumes. I just think it's really cool. Now, look, no one likes the Chiefs winning, right? We all want it. They're the big, bad, you know, evil team now. You got to get over that. And I think there are certainly fans in Kansas City to become entitled and tough to deal with. No doubt about it. But I do think it's been a lot better between the two fan bases, because I think there's a kinship between Buffalo and Kansas City and how their fans are passionate about their team and respectful.
You're absolutely right about that. I think about the fan bases that we interact with all the time. I hate Cincinnati fans. We don't like Raider fans, all that kind of stuff. Buffalo fans, it is not a hatred. It is a respect. It is an understanding. And I think it's two fan bases that just get each other and genuinely are just nice to each other, you know?
Yeah, no doubt. And, you know, it's tough to deal with sometimes. Nobody wants to see, you know, nobody from Kansas City is going to want to see the Bills celebrating on their field. I can guarantee you that. You guys saw that, you know, with the Cincinnati Bengals a few years ago. And, you know, nobody in Buffalo wants to have the season end again at Arrowhead the way it is. And there's going to be people going back and forth. You have some bad apples in every fan base. But I just think these are two great organizations, two great fan bases, and, you know, we'll see what happens on Sunday.
Too early to give us a score prediction, Sal?
Yeah, too early. I'm not going to do that. I was close last week. I said Bills 24-23. It was 27-25. So I'll give myself a little of a pat there. But, you know, I don't know, guys. I just think, again, this game's going to come down to whichever team makes a mistake or two, and the other one is going to capitalize, because that's how both teams have played all year.
Yeah, I think that's a great way to look at it.
Yeah, enjoy it, and just remember, this is the game of why we watch sports and why we love sports and why we do sports. Sal, we appreciate the time.
Yeah, and I love the barbecue there, too, so I'll see you guys this weekend.
See you, Sal.
Sal Capaccio there joining us of WGR Buffalo and the Bills sideline reporter.
He's right about the fan bases, though, and that's the one thing that I do really appreciate about this Buffalo rivalry is that the fans can all hang out together. I've never seen, and, you know, again, I'm sure somebody has, but like a Buffalo fan being a jerk at Arrowhead or anything like that. Like, I think Buffalo fans come in here, they like Kansas City. We like going to Buffalo and watching games and having this kind of rivalry, and it's a respected rivalry. And I think that's the important thing. Both sides truly do respect each other in this.
And I know there's going to be people that are going to be like, nah, man, I've been to Buffalo and their fans suck. Like, you're always going to have an encounter. Like, there's obviously Chiefs fans that suck, right? Like, how one guy robbed a bank and like ruined a girl's life.
Right, so, I mean,
you know, there's always a couple bad apples in the basket of fan bases, but I'm with you. Like, I went to the Bills game last year that they lost with the offensive offsides call with Tony.
Yep.
And like, everyone's starting to kind of leak into the stadium, and some of their fans started coming by our tailgate, which was a massive tailgate. There's like, you know, a couple Blackstones, a grill, and everybody's like hanging out. And, you know, they're walking by like, damn, it smells good. It always smells good here. Immediately, everybody in our group, yeah, if you guys are hungry, you got tons of food over here if you want it. A couple people like, all right, I'll take a burger. I'll go in and walk the game. Hey, we always love coming to Kansas City. Thanks for being respectful. Hey, likewise. I still want to go to Buffalo and watch a game.
I do, too.
Like, and it's a bucket list for me. Like a dead,
it's always
dead
been
ass.
A bucket list for me. But
I'd love to go to Aramark
Stadium.
I think
next year has to be the year we do it. Because,
boss,
I don't want to go to the new stadium. I want to go to the old stadium.
I want to sit where like that little strip of red is.
Oh, that's the heaters.
Is it just color?
No, it's heat. Yeah,
okay, that's where I want to sit.
No, but see, we're only going in September. If there's, I am not going to Buffalo outside of September.
That's your neck of the woods, man.
I don't need. It's not. I do not need to go to Buffalo in the wintertime because there's a good chance you never get out of Buffalo.
Would you rather go through a flaming table or get sprayed in the face with ketchup and mustard?
Sprayed in the face with ketchup and mustard.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, let me through the table. Wow. There's a table downstairs in our lobby, by the way.
I saw that down there, yeah.
Who should go through that as a host?
Binkley.
Oh, no. Stop.
Nobody.
Because Gold did it 1 year in here. You remember that?
Yeah,
he wore a helmet.
Yeah.
He wore a helmet.
Well, that's just normal.
Cody's got a new song.
That's normal.
Mm-hmm. I feel like Drew Nixon should go through it.
He's the smallest. Well, Mac is actually the smallest.
Mac's got a build. He's bigger than Drew.
Yeah, I don't know. Weight-wise, I don't know. Actually, I think I might.
Height-wise, you're definitely.
Height-wise, yeah, for sure.
Or Rob Brenton, since he's always picking Buffalo. That Buffalo Rob.
Yeah, seriously.
Him and Spectre ought to do it. Yeah, Spectre thinks Buffalo's going to win this weekend.
Yeah, do you want to go get him and see if he'll give his opinion on the air?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because he's like hell-bent on this.
Yeah.
And we have a problem in this building.
Well, we were thinking about
we have our boss that likes to, you know, structure some stuff, and he's over here telling us, I think it's going to be a blowout by Buffalo.
Yeah, we were thinking about having a fake Spectre doll in the parking lot, and you guys can come by and kick it and egg it if you want to, because
eggs are expensive. Don't egg it. Save your money.
Yeah, it may be worth it, though, for this, you know?
He legitimately is Team Buffalo.
Yeah, he thinks Buffalo's going to win, and I don't understand why. I mean, I know he likes being a heel. Look at him just fly in.
I mean, kick the damn door open.
Let me tell you why Buffalo's going to win this football game. Let's go, hot take, chocolate's not a candy. What do you got for me today?
He thinks Buffalo's going to win like 35-17.
Is it a hot take that Buffalo could win this game?
Yes, it could. Is.
You think they win by a large margin from what
I've
been told.
Didn't you say 35-0? You're stealing my line?
No, I did not. I'm not stealing bits.
I've got sources that say that you don't think it's going to be relatively close either. And that's your secondhand man without giving a name.
Look at this guy pausing because he knows he's trying been
to
had.
Think of the, I'm trying to think of the right way to describe how I feel about the game on Sunday. I think if we're all rational... Eventually,
see you later.
I guess you guys can leave, and I can just have the studio to myself for a second.
All right.
Eventually, the Chiefs are going to lose an AFC Championship game. Eventually, Josh Allen or Burrow. I mean, I guess Burrow's done it. Or Lamar is going to win an AFC Championship. It's just the
history. So you're pulling the Ravens thing here, where it's inevitable that Lamar eventually gets something done.
Well, I mean, if you look at the history of even during the Brady runs, Manning got two, and Roethlisberger got two, and Flacco got one. Right?
Manning's not Patrick though, and Brady's not Patrick.
Well, Brady is Patrick in this sense.
I don't know that he is.
The Chiefs are not going to win 14 straight Super Bowls for the next 14 straight years.
But they might win three.
But
not with that attitude, they're not.
They could, right? So. I guess it's more that I feel that maybe this is just the time, and it feels like Josh's time to win. Mm. Just based on the way the history of the NFL works, it just feels like Josh Allen's time. 0-3 in previous playoff matchups.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Is he going to go 0-4? Yeah. What's the spread? You would know better than I.
1.5.
1.5. So, I mean, it's going to be
47.
You guys were talking about at 8 o'clock, whoever has the ball in the final 4 minutes. So we expect this to be a one possession, 4 minute game, not the first 56 minutes, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So that's a coin flip. So I just think it feels like the Bills' time. It's felt like the Bills' time since.
I think it's our time.
October. Mm-hmm. I don't have any like rational football opinion like, oh, the offensive line is going to dominate the defense. Just feels like the Bills' time. That's what the history of the NFL has said.
Yeah, so you're just going with because. Like, a little bit. Like being a dad, because I said so.
Gut feel. Yeah. Call it a gut feel.
And I understand that, but I also understand, like, for Patrick Mahomes and Travis Kelce, this could be the last rodeo we see, right? I believe that there is more on the line for Patrick Mahomes in this game than there is for Josh Allen in this game.
Yeah, because Pat's facing history and Josh will have another chance. Yeah, I think that's right. Absolutely right.
Yeah,
because
there's no, I as a betting man, I would bet that there's probably not another time in Mahomes' career where he's on the cusp of three-peating.
Absolutely.
Right?
I 1,000% agree with that. To Dusty's point about the score, I don't think there's a scenario where the Chiefs win by 7, 8, 10 points. I think they win the game in that 3 to 4, you know, 1 to 4 range. I think if the Bills win on Sunday, it will not be close. I think the only way the Bills can win is if they win by 7 or even a 2-score game. So that's why I would say, you know, if you're going to place a bet on the game, I would be aggressive and take the Bills at an alternate spread.
So you expect them to play Carson Wentz in the backups then? Because that's the only time they've gotten blown out in a game.
Because I watched one drive in January and I never want to see it again.
That was enough.
So I think the Chiefs, if the Chiefs win, it'll be close. If the Bills win, it'll be 6+ points.
Do you want Buffalo to win?
No.
Okay. I'm just making sure. I mean, they didn't win a Super Bowl. They went to 4 straight Super Bowls.
The only thing I'm rooting for is a week-long listening experience of Dusty Likens on Bourbon Street tasting hurricanes and eating alligator po' boys.
And throwing snowballs.
Have you ever had an alligator before?
No. I've had alligator. Never had an alligator po' boy, though.
Okay. It's chicken.
Okay.
But that's all it is. Good. Yeah, that's why they call it the chicken of the sea.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And then tuna is its cousin.
That's
obviously.
Right. Yeah, related. Yeah, but the tuna, they swim downstream. The salmon swims upstream. Yeah.
Correct. Was that too rational? Did you guys
good
want
for
something?
The tuna.
Did you guys want something completely different when I came in here?
No, I just wanted you to back it up on the air.
Yeah.
Because I'd heard yesterday that you had the same take you gave us in the meeting. And then Rob was telling me, he's like, you didn't expect things were losing. And
I guess if we have 2 seconds, I also don't think this is the biggest game in Arrowhead history.
You don't?
I think that second game against the Bengals was the biggest AFC championship game.
When they were calling it Burrowhead?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, this one's huge. This is a three-peat on line, though.
You know, I know you retweeted that Nate Geary tweet. There's a lot of respect between these two teams, mm-hmm. two cities.
Yep.
I have zero respect for Cincinnati.
Me too.
I have zero respect for the Bengals.
I wish Cincinnati would float into the Ohio River and go downstream and come out the other side in the Gulf.
They won that 2022 AFC championship game when the Chiefs collapsed. There's no Chiefs game that I've wanted to win more than that 23. Mahomes on one leg, Burrowhead, the mayor being an idiot. That
you
was
talking
a
about
big,
the Philadelphia mayor or
no, the Cincinnati mayor.
Yeah.
When he was doing all that, yeah. You know, he was like reading a ransom note at his office.
What are these mayors doing?
They're
Menino,
the worst.
They're
the
all
Cincinnati
the worst. One, the
yeah.
one who can't spell Eagles.
But I would much rather have won that game. And I get that history is kind of the big part of why this game is big. I love beating the Bengals way more than I like beating the Bills.
I don't disagree with that at all. So, I hate their fans.
I do too.
Yeah. I think they all suck. They're
lost,
awful.
They lost 4 Super Bowls in a row. They can lose 4 in a row to Patrick Mahomes. That's Josh Allen as their quarterback.
I hope so.
See you Monday.
Sounds good.
Okay. Steven Spector, the boss, saying that Syracuse bleeding through the take of Buffalo winning. I don't know what that
means. He doesn't really claim Syracuse, which is why I like him.
He hates Syracuse.
Syracuse sucks.
Just quote. I hate Syracuse. A hypothetical for you. Bob's going to tell you where you can have some fun anytime you want to fool around and find out. When we get back, we'll talk about somebody that might have to do something that you'd love to hear them do here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
Diving right back into it, into the 8 o'clock hour. Don't forget, you can go over to our Twitter page, at TheFan965. The question today on the Fesco and Dusty poll question for you is quite simply a yes or no. Does Josh Allen, or is Josh Allen the one quarterback that gives you doubt?
And if it's not, who is?
Would assume you'll have a lot of Joe Burrow responses on that.
Burrow now, for me, is like the folks who can't get past Lynn Elliott. It's time we get past Joe Burrow.
He kind of reminds me of like Hawaiian Bros, right? Like when it first came out, everybody was like all attracted to it, wanted to go, had to get there. Everybody was talking about it. And then now you drive by and you're like, is there anybody there?
Right.
You're like, oh, I can get in there real quick right now. Go in there and get me a little Dole Whip. Does it keep up with like the Frosty at Wendy's? Yeah, but it's still not that.
Right. So of the bros, Dutch Bros or Hawaiian Bros, which bro is
never
better
been
bro?
To Dutch.
Oh, Dutch is good.
I'm a coffee grinder in the morning, yeah. So I don't really tend to, unless I want to treat myself. Like it's one of those Saturdays where I'm like, oh man, I slept in at seven.
I'm kind of the
like,
same way.
I'll go check one out and go, you know, treat myself to a latte, but.
Because over by us now, we have a Dutch Bros, we have an Andy's, we have a Whataburger, and we have a Taco Bell all in one strip in front of the Menards. It's like, it's like, you know, fast food central over there.
Yeah.
Dutch Bros has a great iced coffee.
I've heard it's good.
Yeah, it is. It is really good. Now, I'm just a coffee guy. I'm not like one of these sugar drink, you know, fanatics like all the kids are and
Every
whatnot.
Every once in a while, it's kind of nice.
Do you see? I look at that. I'm not wasting 250 calories. That's 2.5 miles of running to burn off a strawberry smoothie. Mm. Not interested.
Yeah, I don't do that. I do like the sweet vanilla cream cold brew.
Yeah.
Like at Starbucks. Like that's the only drink I'll really get there. Or the medicine ball.
The medicine ball at Starbucks is money. It really is. It's so good. If you're not feeling great, go get the medicine ball at Starbucks. That'll change your life around. But that Dutch Brothers, man, I'll tell you what. I like the iced coffee.
Mm-hmm. Fesco and Dusty, Wednesday poll question. Is Josh Allen the one quarterback that you face that gives you doubt? Yes, 64.3%. No, 35.7%.
Yeah, I'd like to know who everybody else is weighing in on because, you know, I think that it's time to move on from Joe Burrow being a thorn in our side. He hasn't done anything in years. Lamar's never done anything. Josh Allen is the one guy that does give you pause that there is that outside possibility, that 1%, that he could get something done.
Somebody says, no, if anything, it's the defense that will give me doubt. But if they don't make the same mistakes they did in the regular season, they'll be fine. Spags adjusts. The other one is, I have confidence in the Chiefs. Okay.
Thank you.
All right.
Way to move the conversation forward.
I love Lamb.
I like mayonnaise.
Yeah. It's like the read the room. By the way, we brought up with Sal Capaccio. In an effort, this is from Schefter now running with this, in an effort to support Ravens tight end Mark Andrews, Bills Mafia now has donated close to $60,000 and counting to the Breakthrough T1D organization, which works towards curing and improving the lives of those dealing with type 1 diabetes like Andrews because of all the death threats he's gotten. You'd mentioned the other day, where's Mark Andrews been? He's been getting death threats from his own fan base.
Yeah, but he didn't talk after the game or even the next day inside the locker room. He should have spoke after the game. You can't put that pressure on Lamar and your coach. I mean, you got to go up there as the captain of the team and address all that. It's completely different from what's going on with Mark Andrews. If you're that into sports where you're sending death threats to athletes, you probably should be locked up.
Hell, even like umpires and referees.
Yeah, like, to anybody.
You're trash.
Like,
I mean, Dechinger got, I remember watching that 30 for 30 or whatever it was.
Oh,
like
yeah.
It was like, damn, dude, Bartman in Chicago.
All this stuff, like if you're sending death threats to anybody that's involving anything, first of all, but especially like a sports game, a sports ball game, like you're getting that upset where you're sending death threats, you belong in the loony bin, man.
Yeah,
you really do.
Crazy.
You belong in an institution.
We had a conversation yesterday because something came up. It was a question on the Twitter or the X or the whatever it's called. I get confused every day. And it said, your team is in the Super Bowl. Which one of these voices is the only one you want to hear commentating on the game? The list of the guys is Chris Collinsworth, Tony Romo, Troy Aikman, Tom Brady.
All the number one guys on the networks, right?
Mm-hmm. Well, it looks like, yeah, like all the color commentators.
Yeah, the number one color commentators. Yeah, now, they left out Kirk Herbstreit. Which I probably would have picked. I like Kirk Herbstreit. Yeah,
wow.
I do. I think Kirk's really good. I thought Tony Romo was really good. Yeah, like, look at me. Like, I know more football than Kirk Herbstreit does.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I like Kirk for college. I just can't stand him on Sundays.
Oh, he doesn't work on Sundays.
No,
he does Thursdays
for me.
So you're not watching him on Sundays. So now you're making up a story.
Tell you something about Kirk Herbstreit. You know his dog died, Mac, you jerk.
Yeah. No, I think Kirk Herbstreit's very well prepared. I think Chris Collinsworth is very well prepared. But I don't know, man. Like, I just, of those four, I'm taking Tony Romo. And the reason is, I thought he was really good in the Buffalo-Baltimore game last week. I thought it was one of his best performances. Like, he rose from the dead, in my opinion, in that game and got really, really good in that game. And I'm still going with Tony Romo on that list of four.
Yeah, you're for Romo, Aikman, Brady, and Collinsworth. McAmore?
Romo would be last. I'd pick Kirk Herbstreit before I pick Tony Romo. For me, it'd be Chris Collinsworth, because Chris loves Patrick Mahomes, and he's easy to listen to.
And it's for the Super Bowl.
But then, so but you know Jack's going to be there like...
it's true.
Dad, you look good.
Bad, you know, coat.
You know, like his petticoat?
Mike, Patrick Mahomes, he's just so good, Mike.
Stop it. Stop it. How many times are we going to see it? I go Tom Brady because the question said, which one of these voices do you want to hear call your team in the Super Bowl? We did it last year. John Elway got to hand the trophy to the Kansas City Chiefs organization, and Patrick Mahomes got to surpass him in titles. How great would it be to win the three-peat, a team that's never done it, finally does it. It's the Chiefs, and Brady's got to give Mahomes almost essentially, like, here's the torch.
Well,
you did something I've never done. You're getting closer to my rings. You're now the greatest quarterback in the sport. Hi, I'm Tom Brady. I no longer do this anymore, but you do, and you're only 29.
And Itro knows who you are and doesn't know who I am at this right point in time, right? Like the Tom Brady thing would be cool. Man, that's a great subplot for the Super Bowl. There's no question in my mind about it. Like, I just wonder if Tom Brady will be more silent during the Chiefs three-peat at the Super Bowl or when he was asked about Ben Johnson the other day.
Yeah. Remember that story. It's a lot of interest going to Vegas. Ben Johnson, the day after his team loses, is signing with the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, like there was never an interest in Las Vegas. And they asked Tom about it. He's like, yeah, I like snow.
Yeah.
What?
The 816 says Olsen over them all. Well, yeah, for sure.
But he's not the list. That's what everybody kept saying. It's like Harlan and Green over it. It's like, that's not the list.
It's not the list. Here's the four you get to choose from. Pick one.
That's what's funny.
Red,
is a lot of
green, blue, or orange. Give me yellow.
Pink.
Damn it. By the way, hot topic or hot take, the orange and yellow Starbursts are the best in the sleeve.
I'm with that.
Okay.
Yeah, I like that.
See, I'm just like, if I'm doing like candy, I'm just red, red, pink, purple. Like, those are the colors I like.
Mm.
But we don't have to worry about it anymore with the red dye going away last week.
Yeah. I like Tettles. Collinsworth, Romo. I love that nobody picked Aikman. Like, nobody's like, yeah, give me Troy. I'm good. Coming back,
Troy just bitches about, like, it's getting personal now with him.
Well, yeah, he's only got 33% of 3% of something. Championship game coverage brought to you by Bud Light, our official beer partner of your Kansas City Chiefs. Coming up on the other side, fact or fiction, Mac? Let me tell you about those two things here on the other side. 96.5 The Fan, your home, Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan.